Archibald James Portendorf disliked stairs, with their ludicrous lengths ever leading up as if in some jest. There were times, he thought, he could even hear them snickering. If these stairs had eyes to see, they would do more than snicker. Watching as he huffed through curling auburn whiskers, his short legs wobbling under his rotundity, it was criminal in this modern age that stairs should be allowed to yet exist, when lifts could carry passengers in comfort. He stopped to rest against a giant replica of a copper teapot with a curving spout like a beak, setting down the burden he'd been carrying. It was shameful that someone of his years, having reached 61 in this year 1912, should suffer such indignities. He should be settling down for the night with a stiff drink, not trotting up a set of ruddy stairs. "Oh, for King, country, and company," he muttered. Mopping sweat from his forehead, he wished he could reach the dampness lining his back and other unmentionable regions that his dark suit by fortune hid away. It was warm for November, and in this overheated land it seemed his body no longer knew how not to sweat. With a sigh, he turned weary eyes to an arched window. At this hour, he could still make out the sloping outline of the pyramids, the stone shining beneath a full moon that hung luminous in the black sky. Egypt, the mysterious jewel of the Orient, land of pharaohs, fabled mamluks, and countless marvels. For 10 long years now, Archibald had spent 3, 4, even 6 months in the country at a time, and one thing was certain, he'd had his fill. He was tired of this miserably hot, dry place. 30 years past, they had been ripe for becoming another conquest in His Majesty's empire. Now, Egypt was one of the great powers, and Cairo was fast outstripping London, even Paris. Their people swaggered through the streets, mocking England as that dreary little isle. Their foods troubled his stomach. Their praying came at all times of day and night. And they delighted in pretending not to understand English when he knew they very well could. Then there were the jinn, unnatural creatures. Archibald sighed again, running a thumb across a lavender G stitched into his kerchief. Georgiana had gifted it to him before they'd married. She liked these sojourns no more than he, being left in London with nothing but servants to order about.
"Just a few more weeks, my dear." A few more weeks, and he would be on an airship heading home.
How he would welcome seeing his dreary little isle, where it was a sensibly cold and rainy November. He'd walk its narrow streets and savor every foul scent. For Christmas, he would get smashingly drunk on good, hard English whiskey.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.